And let's bring in the one and only, our favourite comedian in the world, Mr. Jimmy Carr. And here he is. Oh, there's Jimmy Carr off the telly. Oh.
Hello.
Quite literally, he used to be the biggest face on television.
I've been listening to the show, and just before, like the previous link, before that record, Alan was saying, I don't know if I could do Jimmy's job. And right. I don't know whether Alan can do his own job.
No, I don't. There is that.
Many
he had like
have
a proper
that.
Breakdown yeah. when telling a joke about E.T. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, I'm going to do a cry.
How are you?
Really well. Really very well, yeah. Nice to be in the show. Love the show.
Well, you haven't been here for ages.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't had a DVD to yourself.
Well, no.
That's not the only reason you've come to see us. Surely you've come to see us because you've missed us.
Well, I normally pop in a couple of times a year. To, and Aled is coming on in leaps and bounds. I see him very much as a protege.
Sure.
You know, he's he'll be out there soon. Tickets available for his new tour, I imagine.
Here's a question for you.
Go on.
A long time ago, we had a chat about your DVDs, and you said, the idea will be, in the long run, that if I keep releasing a DVD every year... Switch your phone off.
No, okay. The names of the DVDs.
The names of the DVDs. When you pile them up with the first DVD at the top and the latest one at the bottom, it should spell a sentence. Now, for a few years, it won't work, but eventually it will. So, starting with the first DVD you released...
I don't think I can get the order right. I think the order of the DVDs I've done so far, this is the seventh. So I think it's live, stand-up, comedian, in concert, telling jokes, making people laugh, being funny. And this year's being funny. But I had to colour-code them because people forget which one they've got.
But I love them.
I've gone a horrible pink this
Jimmy
year.
Carr comedian, the colour is...
Blue.
Making people laugh...
Is orange...
Pink.
Yellow.
Is it yellow?
Okay.
Well, no, that's telling jokes.
Oh, do you know what it is on your website?
Yes!
In your website.
So come on!
You're right.
Come on!
On your website it says, making people laugh twice.
Oh, okay.
So you need to change that.
Okay.
And of course, DVD, the new one, Jimmy Carr being funny, the colour is...
Pink.
And Jimmy says...
I thought it would look punk rock, and it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's pink rock.
But it's nice, you look good. You're looking very well.
Yeah, it's not. Well, something. It's something.
It's out this week, Jimmy's new DVD.
It's the usual, it's worth saying, it's the usual filth. It's not for everyone. It's not for, you know, if you don't like the rude stuff. Because it's all, I was trying to, I interviewed, you know, the Apple Store do these kind of interviews. I interviewed Frankie Boyle the other day. Other computers are available. And I interviewed him and we were chatting about it and saying, the reason DVDs end up being, or live shows end up being so rude and so kind of brutal is because everything clean you've ever done and you do on TV and radio, it kind of eats it up.
Yeah.
And then what's left is just this kind of hardcore of, really?
And some of your stuff is highly offensive. But I mean, in a great way.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think it's offensive.
I'm with him.
I think some of it's highly offensive.
Look at Jimmy's face. Look at that smile. Look at it.
I think I get away with it because I sound a bit middle management.
Because you look nice. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, you give the impression of being a nice person that, you know, any parent would like.
You're
to.
Not fooled by that, are you?
Well, I think, you know, the outward impression is that you're a nice person.
You are, Jimmy. You are a nice
And they're just
person.
Jokes as well. I suppose that thing of, like, it's not like... With a lot of comics, you sort of think, this is their worldview. It's like more observation. You think, oh, this is what they think about stuff. Yeah. Whereas with me, you go, well, that's a joke. That's another joke. Just a joke. Don't matter. Just a joke. Mm. He just thought that would be funny. He doesn't really mean it.
I was watching one of your DVDs the other day.
Really?
I think I was watching stand-up.
Oh, right. It's amazing, actually, the shrinking man effect of my DVDs as well.
Well, yeah.
I've got the first couple, I look like, whoa, that's some water retention going on there.
I'm hoping if I lose another 3 stone, I'll get down to how you look on the first DVD.
Oh, stop it,
before you lost weight.
Well, you said that you
could... You want a weight loss joke?
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay, here's the first joke.
Is it broadcastable?
Yeah, it's definitely broadcastable.
See how he works.
I had to go through. Yeah. First few weeks of joining Weight Watchers, you're just finding your feet.
Do you understand that?
The first few weeks of joining Weight Watchers.
Well, it's a losing weight joke.
You're just finding your feet. The first few weeks that you're in Weight Watchers, you're just finding your feet. We've sort of killed it now by just oversaying it, but Al, it's still nothing.
Up? Okay.
Imagine you had a
massive
tummy.
You've got it, haven't you?
I think so.
And the joke is... And don't play, just be honest.
Okay. I think it's because...
Fat people can't see their feet.
Fat people can't see their feet. Yeah. exactly.
Look at him, little smile, little smirk.
So,
but genuinely, that took you that long.
Well, because finding your feet means getting used to the diet, yeah, doesn't it?
Oh, that's, yeah. No, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
Chris,
slow down. It's got two meanings.
That's, yeah.
Oh, wait a second.
It works on two levels, Alan. Like,
so
every joke.
I was just thinking, because it is true.
So
that
a joke is different from a statement. Is that the lesson we're learning today?
Well, I don't know. I'm not keeping up with this, but it seems like it's two stories.
Let me amend
that the assumption you made in the setup turns out to be the erroneous thing in the punchline, wow, and it causes a surprise, and then you laugh. This seems extraordinary.
It's like your joke about fat people, you know, having too much on their plate.
I suppose you could take that two ways as well.
Yeah.
I've got to rethink my act.
Yeah.
You haven't realised this?
Are you gonna tell us the things? Who was doing the Geordie accent earlier?
That was Dom. Mm.
You know what you need for the Geordie accent?
What?
It's four words for the Geordie accent: roller coaster, pooper scooper, oompa loompa, Kawasaki. Four ordinary words, unrelated in every way. Mm. But if you say them in a Geordie accent, you sound Geordie. And to get it started in your head, that's what you do: roller coaster, pooper scooper, oompa loompa, Kawasaki.
Right. So it's
and then you're Geordie.
What's the third word? Again, says
Oompa Loompa.
Right, what's
Oompa Loompa? Oompa Loompa.
You don't sound like you're Geordie.
That's Geordie enough. That'll do.
No,
does that work in Newcastle?
Oh, yeah.
Does it?
They don't mind.
What? Really? What about Sunita? That's a good one.
Sunita.
Mm. Yeah.
Sunita.
No, but don't with the T. Sunita.
Sunita.
There you go.
Sunita.
You like that
Sunita?
One?
I could do Welsh. Welsh accent. Just got to sound confused if you want to do Alad.
Mm. Right.
You've just got to sound confused. To do a good Welsh accent, you've just got to sound confused like Alid does. Whose coat is that jacket? Whose shoes are those trainers? See those two houses? The one in the middle is mine. That paper you're sitting on, are you reading that? I came out of the shop and there was my bike.
I'll open with that on Friday when I turn on the Christmas lights.
Right.
I'll do that.
You know how
you're turning on the Christmas lights? That'll wow the locals.
It never...
The street lights.
Yeah.
Wow. Jimmy on Twitter.
It's nighttime, but it's during the... I don't understand.
If you want to follow Jimmy on Twitter, he's at Jimmy Carr. And he puts a lot of jokes on there. These are jokes that... Like, he's just explained the DVD will be jokes that are kind of too rude for TV. These jokes are... He wouldn't do them on TV.
No, they're just kind of... They're kind of throwaway.
But they're lovely.
Yeah, they're kind of sly. Well, also, I mean, for most people, they're just little jokes. You might get a laugh out of them. You might not. If you follow me on Twitter, enjoy.
So,
but for Ali, they're lovely little riddles. They're like a puzzle.
Mm. Read this out loud. Go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go.
So you can't do them on TV, so you can do them...
No. Okay. Sorry, read it.
A chemist is in court accused of groping two female colleagues. I wouldn't like to be in his shoes. I mean boots. A chemist is in court accused of groping two female colleagues. Mm. I mean, that's not funny.
Well, no, but...
Well, that's sexual harassment in the workplace, that's
why. I wouldn't like to be in his shoes. I mean boots.
Now,
well,
take the
chemist.
That's the joke!
Yes, that's it. It has two meanings.
I feel a bit like, you know, when you see a cat and it's got a mouse and it's just, it hasn't killed the mouse and it's just messing with it for a bit first. Mm. It's sort of like that with that. I feel like it's a bit mean sometimes.
Do you know what it is?
Jokes aren't your thing. I don't know what your thing is yet, but when we find it, I bet you're going to be good
at it. Alan has an ability. When you craft
Does
a
he?
Joke, and the, well, yeah, and when, especially on Twitter, Jimmy can come up with a joke and then get that joke into 140 characters, which is a double impressive thing for me, because not only is the joke good, you don't think about it, it's fit it all in one tweet.
Take some editing.
You know, but Alad's ability to take that skill that you have and completely dissect it and put it to pieces by delivering it like, a chemist is in court accused of groping two female colleagues. Well, that's not funny. I wouldn't like to be in his shoes, I mean boots. It's amazing, do you not think?
See, your...
Go on, see your...
Your Geordie accent, I find funny. Because they're easy to get.
Yes.
But when there's double meaning, especially if there's a negative thing in there. Like
a negative
groping,
thing. Like
groping
a,
two
negative,
female
isn't
colleagues.
It?
You shouldn't laugh at that, should you?
You shouldn't, no. I guess not. I mean, it's sort of a joke, though. It's like,
well,
you can be upset about the thing.
Alan, it's like you've been frozen in ice for 100 years, and we've defrosted you, and we're now trying to get you up to speed with the world.
There are people, I think,
I've got one that you've written, which you will find funny.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. These are jokes on Twitter. This is not representative of the tour and or DVD. These are throwaway jokes.
But they're still funny.
They're I kind of think
you're a bit embarrassed of them almost.
Well, the Twitter thing is kind of because the tour, like the new tour, will be. It's kind of, I don't know. It's a different thing. It's a bit more brutal and adult.
It's more brutal. The new tour.
The gagging order tour is really properly
because the last stuff wasn't brutal.
Well, this one's, I mean, it's an 18. We were lucky to get that.
Wow.
Okay. The lawyer said, yeah, I think you can say that.
Allard, read that one out. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Here is a joke from Allard.
A damaged 18th century vase has sold for £80,000. Blimey, if that's secondhand, imagine what a new one would cost. You see, that's funny.
There you go!
Yay!
I think we're clapping the wrong thing. I think if Alan's laughing at my jokes, I think I need to rethink how I do Twitter.
I love the delivery as well. It just sounds natural.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You just said, are you going to tell me jokes this morning?
You know what? I don't think I should.
I think you, come on. Oh, man up.
He's right, you should.
Tell him your ET one again.
That's great.
I don't think I could hear that again. I think that joke feels like it's been killed.
You think?
Yeah, come on, tell me a joke. Come on, Alice.
Got it.
Okay, got it.
What is E.T. short for?
I don't know.
He has little legs.
Well, that's...
See, I delivered it right. Why is no one laughing?
Well, because you said it 4 minutes ago.
He's got the little legs.
It's also, Alan, I don't know whether you need to ask the question and wait for a reply. You could just pause and kind of crack on with it. I don't know whether you need to. Like, anyone? Bueller.
Like Jimmy might say... You know what E.T. is short for? It's because he's got little legs.
Oh, I see.
He wouldn't wait for the audience to reply. Say what you want about da-da-da.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da. That's because I know the tune of your stand-up. Because that's the tune.
The tune.
No, you do. You have a tune.
Yeah, sometimes I forget the punchline. And you go da-da-da-da-da-da.
No, you will go da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da. And then you make that face.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay.
So, I don't wait for a response. I think I'm going wrong there.
Hang on, you've got to pause. Like, don't go straight through.
Okay. How does an Egyptian doorbell work? Toot and come in. Thank you, Chris. Jimmy, you're just not playing up to this, are you?
No, I was. That was my genuine response to the joke, and it was a stony silence.
Toot and come in. That's
because it sounds a bit like Tutankhamun.
But
you still made it
so
question.
So I even went for the double meaning.
You still made it a question. I think what I'm saying anyway, you don't need to make it a question. You can rephrase it so it's a rhetorical question,
okay.
If that makes sense. So it doesn't have to be, you know, what is E.T. short for? You can almost go, you know what E.T. short for?
Yeah.
And then people will go, rather than, no, please tell us. Right?
Okay, do you want an edgy joke?
Oh, wow, I love an edgy joke. I mean, this is... we could be taken off air.
Is this something that Jimmy could use?
It's Freya here.
I had to go through the jokes with Freya outside. It was not great.
Well, she said that out of your entire routine, you're allowed 4 jokes.
Yeah, I think there's 4 jokes that she said are okay, and some of those questionable.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I get turned on by Turkish dips. Do you think I'm homosexual?
Why?
Edgy?
That's edgy. Is pretty edgy.
You know what? I'm just pleased that you got Turkish dips.
Hang on a second.
Clearly.
Frankie Boyle's just phoned up. He went, look, I'm going to retire. That's it. My work here is done.
Wow. It's homosexual. Isn't there, like, there's a thing where you're homosexual? That sounds...
Yeah, it's like a double meaning. That's what it's meant to sound.
But hummus is like a... But it's a dip.
A Turkish dip, you see? Yeah.
Turkish dip, but he likes the Turkish dip. Oh, I get it.
You see that? Yeah. It's a double meaning. Well done. How are you feeling?
I don't know how it's going.
Right.
When I'm away from home, I sometimes get lovesick.
Well, they call it chlamydia.
No.
No.
No, okay. Just a no. That's the response you look for a joke. Not even a nah, not that funny. Just a no.
No. Imagine.
Shall I try another one?
Okay.
Sometimes you can sense, Alan. Sometimes you can sense that a friend wants to take things further.
Yeah.
Will it ruin the friendship? Things get hot and heavy on the sofa one night. You think, this doesn't feel right. You're my best friend. You're not even allowed on the couch.
Come on, Alan.
Come on.
I was with you all the way till then. Why can't your friend be on the couch?
I was with you. Why is your friend not allowed to sit on the couch?
Okay, an easy one, okay. I was in bed with this woman, and she said, I want tonight to be magical.
Wow.
And it was. Afterwards, I disappeared.
like a magic trick.
Hang on, it's like a
magic trick. It is. They're like magic words that make people do a laugh.
We have to revisit Alan's world where a friend isn't allowed to sit on the sofa.
Is it a new sofa, Jimmy? Is that why they
do around? They have a dirty bottom?
Are they in work overalls?
I honestly thought you were going to go magic trick at the end.
Magic trick.
I took out some cards or something, because that would be quite funny.
I like the way you just overthink. In your head, I think a lot of people with jokes, they're just listening to the words and they're kind of enjoying suspending disbelief and listening to the punchline. Whereas you are going, right, okay, you're on the couch with a friend. Things are getting, oh, okay, where's this going? Oh, this could end in tears. It's like a real thing for you.
Yeah,
it's like a real scenario.
Jimmy, why don't you redo, just for Alan's sake, redo the...
Yeah,
she wanted to be magical,
yeah.
And then change the punchline to "So I pulled out a pack of cards and just see
already,
if Alan."
That, right. I think that's funny.
I was in bed with a girl recently, and she said to me, "She said I want tonight to be magical."
Right. Yeah.
So I sawed her in half.
Oh, that's really horrible.
Right.
No, this is.
Do you know what I like sawing her in half.
Yeah. Well, anyone can saw a woman in half. It's getting her back together again. That's the.
No. No!
No!
Jimmy, can I make a TV show where Alad follows you on tour for a couple of weeks?
It would be incredible. We did say last year I did want him to do the DVD commentary.
I've come out to a show and I laughed at some of your stuff. So I'm not sure if it would work.
Wow! You did laugh at some of the stuff.
I did.
Because you saw the other people laughing and you joined in.
Do you think? Is it like group
much.
Mentality?
Yeah, when you came in Leeds, yeah, you just, yeah.
My ex-girlfriend Bristol.
Alan, I don't know if I mentioned this, but my ex-girlfriend bought me a copy of the Kama Sutra last year, which put me in a very awkward position.
That's good.
Yeah! Come on!
I'm making progress. I don't know if it's progress, but I'm, yeah.
See, I was going to put 20 quid on you not knowing what the Kama Sutra was.
I think I have a riddle trapped inside an enigma.
No way.
Well, I would call it a joke, but that's what I think Alad would call it. I do a lot of baking. Do you bake, Alad?
I don't.
I do a lot of baking. My specialty is, it's a brownie with nuts.
Oh.
I call it a scout.
Really not. I have no idea.
No, but I do a lot of baking. I bake cookies and cakes and things.
So...
But the specialty, the thing I do best, it's like if I was baking for you and coming over, special occasion, it's a brownie with nuts, which
nuts.
I call a scout.
Is that what a brownie is, though?
What?
Well, no, it's got nuts. It's like a normal brownie, but it's got nuts. Yeah. So I call it a scout. That's what I call it, because it's a brownie with nuts.
Oh, I don't enjoy this.
You're on a totally different level.
Yeah.
Maybe he's ahead of us.
No.
No.
Do you want one from me?
No. Yes.
Oh, desperately, yes. Yeah.
What is Rihanna's favourite cheese? Pause. Mozzarella. Ella.
Yeah, don't say pause.
No,
Sam Bailey.
This is like the classic TV, you know, someone reading autocue saying ad lib to break.
Mm. I want to make a show. I'm going to literally write this up today. I'm going to speak to Dean and I'm going to go, I want this to happen. I want Alad to follow Jimmy around for a couple of weeks in the hope that Jimmy can teach Alad not to tell jokes, but to understand jokes.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
I'm serious. I'm like the Alad whisperer. I would love to do it.
I want him to watch you write, watch you come up with stuff, watch you on the road, watch you on tour.
I do wish I'd gotten to do the DVD commentary, because it's just fascinating, you kind of dissecting it and going...
I'd be absolutely hated.
You would not be hated.
Like Sunita in the jungle.
You know what I think people absolutely love about you?
No.
It's how... Because most people, if they don't get something, and partly it's, you know, these guys, you know, you have to be honest with each other when you do this much radio together, but it's that thing of you're so open about it. That's the adorable thing about you. I don't think you realise how adorable you are.
You know,
Alad,
in this team, if you laugh at jokes, the team would probably give you a joke that wasn't funny, and you're left there on your own going, and they go, why is that even funny? I don't know.
You know the show An Idiot Abroad? This could be like An Idiot at Home or a domestic idiot.
By the way, one of our listeners texted in saying you have to use that as a quote on your DVD. Promotional material. I came out to a show and laughed at some of your stuff.
And then the other quote should just be, no.
No.
Oh, my God.
You know Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. You know with our last child, she had a very difficult delivery. She had to go and pick it up from the sorting office.
We were doing news about that today, so I don't think that's...
Is that in the tour?
Huh?
Is that one in the tour?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, right. That's a Twitter one. See, the thing is, though, I'm joking. Oh, by the way, somebody's texting saying Jimmy's so talented. He's currently on Radio 1 and XFM at the same time.
That's incredible. Oh,
that is brilliant.
Okay. Hey, you bumped me from the show on Monday because of John Cleese, so that's why that happened.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, okay, so let's not cry.
Oh, I'm not crying.
I did the pre-record on that, and I'm here live.
No, I know, that's fine.
We like it when other radio stations make out you're live, you see.
Yeah,
so some of our guests
Yeah, but obviously Radio 1 is the only radio station.
Are we on tape now?
Huh?
Are we on tape?
Listen, I'm having a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Let's not ruin it.
I would have edited me out if we were on tape.
Jimmy's actually live and the rest of us are all on tape. Yep. But this is heavily scripted with massive pauses so Jimmy can chip in.
Made four.
Have you all got more jokes for us, Aled? Have you got more?
I can't take it anymore. I had to play a record.
Someone's just texted in.
Saying what?
Aled, how do you defuse a bomb made of cheese? Carefully.
It's like a Welsh joke.
But I don't... But bombs... Go, bombs
I know.
But that's not a funny thing.
I'm trying here, Jimmy.
No, but that's
I'm
really serious.
I'm trying for you.
But bombs explode. People go... They make when a I really go, loud noise. They're really disturbing.
When I go for my jokes, you don't think they're very funny.
Here's the title. Aled Jones, an idiot on tour.
An idiot... I love it. I absolutely love it. I think we should just show... I'll show you an idiot.
I'll do stand-up.
Do you think...
It's like press... It should be like... An Idiot Abroad's a great show anyway, yeah, but yeah. The idea that you should press the red button if you want to see a real idiot.
Yeah.
Someone watching that show, try and explain it to someone else.
You make no Carl offense. Pilkington look like, you know, a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
See, that would upset me now.
Jimmy, you obviously you know a lot of professional comedians and comedy actors and writers and whatnot.
Sure.
Do you think other people might be interested? So if the show will be... You literally take Aled under your wing, and then maybe he goes to chat and with other comics.
I think
some questions.
I think the fascinating thing would be Aled talking about jokes with other comedians, trying to search for what they are and how they
work.
Do
you think Frankie Boyle would sit down with Aled for 5 minutes?
I think
and
I find...
discuss one of Frankie's jokes.
That would be extraordinary. You know what? If you sent Aled to go and do that, I bet Frankie would do it. He's around this week. If Aled would go and have a chat with Frankie about one of his jokes, it would be an amazing
Wouldn't
5 minutes
but
of radio.
Think, yes.
That would need to be edited.
Look, I don't think
we would
works,
need to pre-record.
I think we would see a side of Frankie that we've never seen before. I think there's a good chance that he might get out of his chair and hug you.
Mm. I don't think Frankie does the same kind of jokes as you.
Well, it doesn't matter.
He does. We're both kind of... Actually, that thing I did at the iTunes, it's like a little podcast thing with me interviewing Frankie and Frankie interviewing me. We're quite similar. We both sort of... Almost like 1950s line writers. And then we happen to be stand-ups as well. But we sort of... It's all about jokes. It's just sort of silly bits of wordplay. It's just little tricks.
I get the ruder stuff.
It's your delivery is
laughing at your
But they all work
gigs,
in exactly the same way. It's just a bit of wordplay. The fact that it's rude or it seems to be about a taboo subject is just... That's really a smokescreen. That's just there to kind of distract from that. It's just a silly joke. It doesn't matter whether about ET or whether they're about, you know, an STI. It's the same trick. Okay. It's the same fooling you with the first bit of the joke. You know, I think I know what's happening. Oh, and the rug's been pulled from under you.
I don't think I'm thick. I
no,
think
you're
I
definitely
just
not.
Analyse jokes.
Why has ET got an STI?
He hasn't.
Right. Oh, there you go. He hasn't.
He hasn't. Well, he looks like he's got some dry skin then. I mean, that definitely needs something on it.
Like maybe mild eczema.
All right, let me play a song.
Yeah, I've fallen for that before.
And that's then we'll come back.
No one has a rash there.
No, all right, thank you. It's 7:09, we're live with Jimmy Carr.
Damn. Oh, god damn.
There you are.
That's a record, isn't it?
Lux Pavilion with Superbad.
Yeah, I think.
You're not going to be driving around with this?
Damn.
Can you, if you drive around with that on quite loud, does the blue light come out from under the car?
Yeah.
The blue light that makes the car look haunted.
Mm. When's your next gig?
Next proper gig is not till April. I've finished the tour, and then I'm doing warm updates and things, but the gagging order tour doesn't start until next April, and then runs until 2013.
Wow.
Whoa. This is not the longest gap you've ever had, then?
Yeah, it's kind of the longest gap without... But I've got gigs in Ireland and South Africa.
You were in Aberystwyth a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it was great. So I just finished the tour that's just come out on DVD, the Being Funny DVD.
Right.
That tour's finished. As soon as that comes out, came out on Monday, I won't perform that again in the UK. Because I hate that thing of, like, if you bought the DVD, then you'd be going, okay. Yeah.
You don't have, do you ever do greatest hits gags?
No, I think I will, though.
I think in a couple of years, I think I could do a greatest hits tour.
Oh, absolutely.
Knocking out the hits. Here's one you know.
Yeah.
Be amazing.
So, I was backstage the other day, and this large girl said to me, and everyone goes, because they know what's coming.
Yeah. You're fattest.
Yeah. right, so we're going to work on this TV show idea of Allard and Jimmy. I just like the idea of those two hanging around together.
But also, also then there's the idea that then Jimmy, obviously with his contacts, could then introduce Allard to all sorts of other famous comedians, yeah, and the all exploration, like with, I don't know, Michael McIntyre, Frankie Boyle, all sorts of people. It'd be fascinating.
Yeah, your friends.
I think this should be an item in the show. I think you should get, every time you get a comic on, there's a lot of comics come through, especially this time of year, for some reason, who knew? But the idea that Allard should take them off after the show for a little 4 minute little chat about, okay, I'd like you to just explain this joke to me. Just I'd like just to talk it through inside the actor's studio for jokes with Allard on every comic that comes in, and then you just play, it's a little section of the
be amazing.
Can you imagine him sitting there two chairs next to opposite each other in a nice hotel with a fireplace in the background? So it's Allard and Frankie Boyle, and it's like action, and he goes, I'm with Frankie Boyle, why are you funny? The first question.
Yeah,
I think that would be brilliant.
Mm.
It's an amazing. It's quite a disarming thing to ask, though. What's funny about you?
In a way, it's a bit like an up to date version of Mrs. Merton.
I don't. Yeah, but for real.
Yeah.
But like, I don't really understand your jokes. Can you explain why they're funny?
It's basically it's Alan saying to comedians, "What is the point of you?
Yeah.
No, what are you for?
It's I know you're funny because people laugh. But I don't get it. Can you explain it to me?
Do you think it's possible to rewire my brain so that I find those kind of jokes funny?
No.
No? Even if I understood how they were made?
I think maybe you could grow to appreciate them, but if it's not your thing... I mean, it's like, you look a little bit crestfallen this morning. I mean, you shouldn't feel bad about it. It's like, it's one little thing that maybe you don't get in the same way. But if you were trying to get me to play a musical instrument, I'm sure it would be a similar level of...
It's only in the same way that I don't understand wine. I don't get wine. It tastes the same to me, and I don't get why people get all giddy about it.
I'm crushed.
And you're like that with jokes.
It's mainly because people are associating this with, I don't know, just intelligence of any form. If you can't get jokes, then how do you even survive?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing with wine is interesting because, I mean, obviously, you know, there's red and there's white. Well, this is the see-through one. See-through.
No,
imagine. No, nothing.
No, why? What is that?
I know. Please, nothing. Just messing.
Are you? Yes.
You've just got a little bit. But you look a little bit upset this morning. It is a weird thing, though, because of jokes. There's such a. I love that quote. There's a quote like a joke being the shortest distance between two people. Like people connect over jokes. And when you think about the reason I think people are so friendly to comedians, when you're out and about, people are so sort of nice and come up and start conversations. Makes the world a very friendly place because they associate jokes. You laugh with your mates.
Yeah.
That's how you define your friends. And then when a comedian makes you laugh, you sort of immediately feel like, oh, it's like being fast friends with someone. And that's what a joke is. A joke is essentially two guys, you know, who are socially awkward, or men that are socially awkward, going, I like you and I want you to like me. That's why you tell a joke.
Well, my wine joke.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure.
It's not something I can sell
this
or say here.
No,
this is something that I heard someone tell me.
Go ahead.
Which was that two TOWIE cast... The only way is Essex.
There's another way, there's a better way.
Yeah, they only like Pinot Grigio. Is that the right one? No, Rosé. They don't like Rosé, sorry.
Right.
So what they did was they poured some red wine into white wine to make it look like Rosé. I was hysterical for hours at that. That, I thought, was hilarious.
Really?
Stuff like that makes me laugh.
Who knew that would? I mean, I love that.
See,
I love The Only Way is Essex.
I love that show.
I like to shorten The Only Way is Essex by turning it off halfway through.
I get that.
Yay!
It's like a TOWIE joke.
We found your level.
Yeah.
You see, can you imagine Allard sitting nose to nose with Jack D, and Jack trying to keep a straight face while Allard goes, "I don't get that. I don't get that. Why would you? But why would you do that?"
I think it would be more interesting to see him with like Michael McIntyre, because it's observational stuff, and he sort of really performs it, and it's sort of a brilliant observation.
Mm.
But I think Alan would just go, "Well, yeah, I've noticed that as well. We've all got drawers. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah, I've definitely got a drawer. Why?
You know when you said when you're brushing your teeth?
Yes.
Right. But what? I brush my teeth. What? No, well, I don't know what.
Why
your
are you
point
telling
is.
Us this?
You knew when you're brushing your teeth and you brush up and down and side to side. Yes, I yeah. What about it?
Because that's almost more, like, it's almost easier to explain jokes than it is that kind of that nuanced observational comedy. It's more difficult sometimes because you go, well, I don't quite know what was funny about it, but there was just something wonderful.
It's going to be hard. I tell you what, it's going to take a lot of balls for some of these comics to sit opposite you and have you go, I'm not being rude, but I don't understand. Mm. But you wouldn't, why would you do that? You wouldn't say that to the man. You'd say, do you mind? Leave me alone. I'm having a drink.
Okay. I think it's all about when the joke finishes and then the blank expression that follows. That, to me, is the whole beauty of it. Like, when you say something in allergies.
I have a double meaning joke for you.
Oh,
I'm
going to
try and lift the mood.
Here we go, Tim. Yeah.
A double meaning joke. You ready for this?
Well, I love jokes, so this they're exactly my thing. This I'm very much looking forward to. I'm excited. We're all amped up. This is going to be great. Go.
Two fish in a tank, and one turns to the other one and says, "How do you drive this thing?" Please, come on.
Yeah, no,
it's funny.
It is a great joke.
With double meaning.
Yeah.
And the other thing, we haven't heard it before.
Because you were thinking the class.
And then two, yeah.
Because he means a tank, like a tank for fish and a tank for the army. Like an army tank.
Oh.
And so the it's imagining two fish in a tank that the army might drive.
You see?
Two fish swimming along, and they crash.
No, they're not swimming. They're just in a tank.
Two fish swimming along, and they crash, and they say, "Damn."
I said, "That's good."
Mate, see,
this is, hit the head. That's funnier.
That's a yes.
They hit the head.
I think maybe we went in at too high a level. Yeah. I think we need to start at a low level and work our way up.
Yeah. Allard, Russell at Oxford has just been diagnosed with a chronic fear of giants.
Oh, I know this one.
Yeah.
It's called fee-fi-phobia.
There you go. You like that?
I think maybe much funnier than the punchline is a tiny Welsh man going, "No, I know this one." "I know the stop. Stop, I know this one. Don't tell me."
I don't know many.
Anyway, Jimmy's DVD is out this week called Being Funny.
It's pink.
It's pink. You literally can't miss it.
It is shocking pink.
And it was recorded
shocking.
In Birmingham.
Yeah, recorded at the Symphony Hall.
And you must go and get it because Jimmy's, I tell you what, it is the perfect Christmas gift for mother or father. They will very much appreciate it. In fact, I think it was last Christmas. Me and my dad sat and watched you. Were you on last Christmas?
What,
on the Channel 4? Did they show one of the concerts?
I think they did, yeah. I think they're showing one this Friday as well. They're showing, like, it's Jimmy Carr night on Friday on Channel 4 change. Yeah. There's like two new 8 Out of 10 Cats and the last DVD, but that's the edited version.
Oh, sure.
So the TV, they show last year's DVD, but it's the hour-long version, not the two-hour version.
Right.
So they take out anything that the lawyer goes, well, we can't say that because we're all going to jail.
Right.
But weirdly, DVDs have got different laws. They just go, put an 18 certificate on, you say what you like.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird kind of...
I never knew that.
Nice.
Well, me and my dad sat and watched you.
How'd that go? Your dad. He's pretty fun.
Well, you know, my dad is in a little text circle with a load of my mates and they all swap jokes, but I'm not part of it and he won't allow me in. It's true. So Jodie and Martin and Tim and all the boys, they're all in this little text circle with my dad.
Why aren't you allowed in?
Look, not only was I not allowed in, but for a good year, I didn't even know this existed. Okay. Until everybody was in the pub and someone told a joke and they went, "Oh, that was from Chris, wasn't it?" And I went, "From who? Me?" No, don't worry about it. What do you mean, don't worry about it? What are you talking about? Not from your dad. My dad sent you a joke. And then someone else says, "Yeah, your dad sends us all jokes."
You're not in the gang.
I'm not in it.
You're not in your gang.
And Jimmy, we've talked about it. He won't put me in.
That's weird.
Yeah. He won't put me in. So if there's any kind of, like, cheeky little jokes going around, it's literally going on with my dad and Jodie and Martin. But I'm not... He never sends me a joke, ever.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Freaky. It is a weird thing, though. It's like...
I think he's got a sideline. I think he's writing with... I think he writes with Frankie Boyle, and I'm blissfully unaware. I'm just like, "Oh, Christmas, wow, we seem to have done well for ourselves this year. Dad, there's another new car."
Do you know,
something's going on.
I'm going to ask him when I see him. I'm seeing him Friday for a drink, so I'll
Right,
ask
oh,
him
brilliant.
That.
Okay, yeah.
Well, no, because it's... Well, it's like a Friday thing. Oh.
Yeah.
What?
You, my dad, and Michael McIntyre every Friday for brunch.
Yeah, delicious.
Oh. So what else is going on? 8 out of 10 Cats, great show.
Oh, thank you. Love
that show.
Much.
Do you know my favourite bit? Every week it makes me smile. Every single week.
Is it the bobble of my head at the beginning of the show?
It's when you run on. But you
I've
run
got to
on,
turn round.
But
it's not easy.
You run on... you stand at the end of that walkway, but that walkway is about 2 or 3 strides at the most.
Yeah, sure.
So you stand kind of behind the camera, but they take a long shot, so you can see you stood there, and they go, "Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Carr!" And you go, as if you've just run on from a half a mile away, and you go, "Hello," like that.
Yeah, it's thanks not, for much. Not quite
you
long
could,
enough.
You could walk. You could just walk on and go, "Hi, how are you?" But you have to do the little skip.
Yeah, I got that going on. Nah, the bobble of the head. The
And you know the secret's why you're out of 10 cats.
What?
You know the secret as well. What? So he goes, what have people been talking about this week? Mm-hmm. What's been in the news this week? And they do an hour and a half of jokes about the inquiry that's going mm-hmm. on, the Levinson inquiry. Mm. And then when Jimmy goes, well, let's have a look and see if it's up there, it always is.
You know, yeah. The other thing
it's
about
cats. He never says, let's have a look and it's
I
not
get
there.
50 tweets a week from people going, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add, the percentages don't add up to 100. What's going on? It doesn't add up to 100. That doesn't even add up to 100, so I don't know. Like, as if people talk about one thing all week, and with the exclusion of all else. Well, I just talked about Madonna this week.
It's the top 5 things, isn't it?
Yeah, the top 5 things, about. The top 3 things, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And then the big fat quiz of the year.
Big fat quiz, yeah.
Love
that's
that. That.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, I think.
10 o'clock live.
10 o'clock live is coming back next year, but the tour is really the thing that I'm writing at the moment. That's in my head.
So, because normally you are, and I know you've got to, I know you've got to get out of it, he's a busy day today.
I know
he is. Jimmy.
Busy-ish.
Apparently he's got to leave on the dot at 9:30. What time are you playing tennis with Jonathan? 10?
Ish.
Right, yeah. Okay.
10:15.
Not even today. No,
not even today.
I could stay here all day. I love it here.
Okay, and what you got told? You had to be out the door.
That's whatever. Someone's saying
is that
something.
PR bunkum?
That's that, of course it's bunkum.
He's not called that anymore. Just call him Chris.
Sorry. PR Chris, I mean.
PR bunkum. Hello.
Nice.
I put you on the Sam and Mayor breakfast
show. Bunkum, bunkum.
What we were saying?
I don't know. 10 o'clock live and live tours and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, because you normally tour all year.
I normally have, 2 days off in between, but this time I've got a bit longer to kind of to write it and put it together and then...
Yeah.
And we thought we'd put the tour dates kind of up now so people could, you know, buy them in advance.
So you normally kind of, you go away for Christmas and then you come back and then you have your first live gig in January and your last live gig of the year in December. And that's normally what you do, year in, year out. You go, even though you have tours, your tours start in January and end of December. That's your job.
Yeah, that's my full-time job,
Like, we all come to work in the morning, you gig however many nights a week will you do.
I was 240 on this last tour.
Oh, 240.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now, this is different. You don't normally go, right,
no,
the
trying
tour
to,
starts.
I'm trying to, I mean, not to be too serious, I'm sure no one's too concerned, but I'm trying to have a little bit of a balance between kind of work and life.
Good for you.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, take a bit more time off.
So it starts when? April next year?
It starts April, and it's Tuesdays, Friday, Saturdays. So I've got a few days off to do other things, and then doing that throughout. But that's for 2 years, because I still want to do as many dates. I still want to do all the places I go to. Because I go to quite a lot of places around the country that you'd kind of... I don't want to end up just doing... You know, people just do 10 arena dates, and they go, well, everyone can come to me.
Yeah.
I quite like going around and, you know...
Yeah.
I don't mind spending a day in Venice or Clacton or wherever I happen to be.
Right. So... A Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
But then obviously you'll still do 8 out of 10 cats.
Yep.
And you'll still do the corporate gigs.
And 10 o'clock live.
And you'll still do 10 o'clock live. And you'll still do all the other bits.
So you won't really have any time off, will you?
Oh, well, I'm going to have Sundays.
You must
off,
never see the wife and kids.
No, I never see them. Well, I live with my girlfriend, so.
Oh, right, okay.
That's so the wife and kids are.
Not
seen them in years.
Well,
if they find out about this.
Yeah, well, they don't listen. You'll be fine.
Mm.
Yeah, be fine. And you're happy, everything is good.
You couldn't be happier.
Jimmy's always happy.
I know he is.
Well, I think you'd be crazy not to. I do kind of... It's like not a massive bugbear, but then when you hear people getting interviewed, you know, they're on Radio 1, right, in the morning, chatting to you, and they're going, oh, I'm really tired, I've been really busy, or I had to take a year off after the album. And you go, what? Such a charmed life. Relax.
I am tired and I have been very busy.
And it's cold today as well.
Yeah,
isn't
it's cold.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, when I'm tired and moany, I think I'm relating to the audience who are also tired and moany. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, sure.
People are waking up grumpy.
No,
therefore,
I mean,
I'm grumpy.
We're doing it for them.
It's more the kind of, the you know, the showbiz people, they're in, they're a guest on the show, and they're kind of going, oh, it's too difficult. This life, oh, I work so hard. There's people listening, there's psychiatric nurses on the way to work going, is he working that hard?
Our favourite one was Joss Stone. And Joss comes in and pretty much said, to paraphrase her, she pretty much said, it's really exhausting flying first class around the world.
Mm.
And there wasn't any irony in what she was saying. She was genuinely tired, but it just came out of her mouth wrong. And she pretty much said, "I'm so tired. You know, it's tiring when you're flying around the world." And it's like, do you know what? I bet it would be. If you had nothing to do but eat caviar and steak every day, yeah, eventually you would get bored. If you had to fly first class around the world every day, you would crave a night on the sofa watching EastEnders,
yeah,
eating a pie. I get that. But you can't.
There's certain things you don't say because it doesn't ingratiate, yeah, you to the British public.
Well, I suppose you very rarely have on as a guest the lady that runs the Greggs in Rill.
True.
But I imagine she would say the same thing.
I would, though.
Mm. Of course she'd have her on. She might bring samples.
Oh, my God, do you want to hear a Greg story?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
You know the Children Need Rocks Manchester concert, yes, the other week? Mm. It turns out my mum and dad were sitting next to the man who is in charge of Greggs.
What, Greg?
Apparently, I don't even think he's called Greg. Right. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to.
You know that thing with facade. You know that thing with like euphemisms.
Mm.
Like if someone's gay, sometimes you don't want to say someone's gay because it sounds a bit like subjective. Like you're making a value judgment. So you'd say maybe he's a friend of Dorothy's. Mm. It's quite a nice thing to say.
Right.
If someone's really fat, I like to say he's a friend of Greg's.
Am I a friend of Greg's?
No, I don't think you would qualify. I think there was a time when you may have been a friend of Greg's, but you are no longer.
We were related.
I believe you've fallen out with Greg recently.
Oh, yeah. I ignore him when I pass him on the street.
So what did Mum and Dad find out about Greg?
So anyway, they met this fella and they said, "What do you do?" And they got talking. So basically it's like, "Oh, what do you do?" And then it's like, "Okay, well, that's where we're here to see our son." Mm-hmm. "Oh, it's Chris Moore." Mm. "Oh, well, your son's a big fan of my company. I'm in charge of Greg's." And, oh, lovely. "Do you ever go into Greg's?" Mum goes, "Well, I don't really go in there as often as I used to." And he said, "This is all true, by the way."
"Yeah.
Why not?" "Well, because you stopped doing my favourite thing." "What was that?" "Well, you used to do like a corned beef slice." That's what you used to do.
A corned beef slice?
Or something like a steak slice.
And you could get it with one ration ticket, couldn't you? One ration ticket.
No, it wasn't during the Blitz. But she said, "Yeah, you used to do like this corned beef thing, but you don't do them anymore." And he goes, "Where do you live?" She goes, "Leeds." And he gets his phone out, makes it out, and goes, "That will be back on the menu next week."
Oh,
incredible.
Wow.
So if anybody liked their corned beef at Greg's, apparently that's coming back courtesy of my mother.
That is like the northern equivalent of meeting God.
That's incredible, isn't it? It's like if you have the power to influence the menu at Greg's.
This is a new level of fame, isn't
it? Beyond most people's dreams.
Listen, this is the status that my mother has.
Do you know,
now.
Okay, here's my problem with it. Not just Greg's, other bakers available. I realise this is the BBC, we're not advertising, but here's my problem with them, okay? A, every day they shut at 4 because they've run out of food. Make some more food.
Yeah.
Make some more food. Mm. Also, you run out of the buns. I like the, you know, the really plain iced buns.
Yes.
It's like a hamburger bun with some icing on the top. The ice finger. I like that. Very plain. Mm. That with a cup of coffee. Can't get better than that, right? So that, they run out almost at 9:30 in the morning. They're out of those. And they never think, we should make some more of those. We should make a note. Those are popular.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to them, now that they've found this out, I hope Mr. Greg is now going to memo every Greg's in Britain and goes, one of these ice fingers needs to be saved and put aside every day. Make a spare.
Just take a
just in case Jimmy walks in.
And listen,
goes,
my tour schedule is on the internet. Could the good people have? Is it too much to ask?
Right.
To have a personalised sectioning every Greg's when I'm there.
Where is your next concert of any kind?
The next concert will be probably like Dartford in April. I think we start off the tour.
But did you say you're doing some?
Oh, like warm-up dates. Yeah. I'm in. Let me think.
Did you say South Africa?
Yeah, I'm in South Africa in 2 weeks.
Right. Greg's South Africa in 2 weeks.
Greg's Cape Town.
Yeah. There you go.
I would also enjoy a steak bake.
Right. Okay.
In Greg's.
Jimmy, lovely to see you. Have a lovely Christmas.
Well, it's been great coming in today as a spokesman for Greg's. I don't know.
No, just to talk about. To talk about Allard.
To talk about Allard. You know what? You really are coming on. It's one of my... I said it before, I'll say it again. It's so my favourite thing to do, to come in and have you tell jokes. And I realise sometimes it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I so appreciate it. It's such a fun thing for me to come in.
I'm pleased.
It's like, it's brilliant. But I come in once a year and it's like my favourite show to do. I love it.
I enjoy it too.
And would you like to get him on the surgery 1 week?
I'd love that.
Can you please get me on? That. You know I'm a big fan of the show. But
we don't need callers. It'll just be you and me. Explain my comedy deficiency.
We could get some callers, though. Oh, if we got callers.
I've got another title for you, if you don't like the word idiot in the thing. Okay. What about the man who stared at jokes?
That's nice. That's
the man good. Who stared at jokes. So good.
That's good, isn't it? Deep.
Right, I'm making this for Channel 4 for next year. Okay. It's going to be the hit of the year. Jimmy, good to see you. Jimmy's DVD is out this week. It's called Being Funny. You can't miss it in the shops. It's pink. Jimmy Carr, ladies and gentlemen. The great- greatest stand-up comic in Britain.